Oh, that's right. Oh.
This is Bob.
Yeah, and Sasha on the stack.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah, I agree with both Gail and Nancy. I think I was just looking through my copy of Robert's Rules to see if it really addresses this question, and I don't see anything right on point, but we have to always remember that we're not, Pacifica is not hidebound by Robert's Rules, although sometimes it feels that way. But it does, I just checked the Article 16, and it says, the rules in Robert's Rules shall govern the foundation in all cases where they are applicable and in which they're not inconsistent with these bylaws or any special rules of order which the foundation may adopt. So that says to me, we could recommend that the board adopt a special rule that when a committee meeting does not reach quorum, that a record be kept of who was there and who wasn't, and the fact that it didn't meet quorum and we stayed for whatever, 20 minutes, and then we adjourned. I don't see any problem with that whatever, and I think it is useful to have a historical record, and especially if it's going on month after month, that then the board could decide to take action, like, oh my God, 5 months in a row, they've tried to reach quorum, they haven't succeeded, here's the people who came, here's the ones who didn't, let's figure out what to do about this. So I think, we'd have to think about it more. I'm not proposing a motion tonight, but I think it might be a good idea.
Let me read this to you, because I did understand that this was not ruled strictly by Robert's Rules of Order, but I know people love Robert's Rules of Order.
Not this one.
They just love
it.
They just have a need to quote every obscure rule in the book. But anyway, under the 7 quick operating rules for Robert's Rules of Order, number 7 is quorum. A majority of the membership constitutes a quorum. Meetings may be held to discuss issues with an absence of a quorum, but motions will be held until the next meeting that achieves a quorum. So the way that I read it, which is very simple and kind of plain English, is yes, you can even hold a meeting to discuss issues. There just can be no motions taken.
Right. And this is Sasha, if I may.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can remember what I was going to say. I would say that maybe we call them because there was that issue. We discussed this last time around quite a bit.
We did.
It seemed like Tracy, at least, was, as I recall, to the best of my recollection, was saying that you can't take minutes. So what if we just called it a record was kept of the discussion?
Yeah,
or
notes.
Thank you.
Or even with the Sasha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Sasha.
Can we just call it something different? And
yeah.
Because it's also a helpful reminder to us of, where we left off and what we want to have a motion about.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So would we like to make a motion?
Unless anybody's really good at making a wording this, can I wait till next time and think about the wording?
Absolutely.
Or somebody's really good.
Yeah, we can carry this over.
Well,
Sasha,
and I'm going to make a special plea to Nancy to get these minutes from this particular meeting out to us. I think, for me, those would be the most helpful minutes to have first because they advise us where we left off and for our next meeting rather than, going around and around about things once again. It would be helpful to see this, and if we got it in enough time, I think I'll work on that. Motion,
Okay. Well, let's move on to number 4. Rule to require management to provide any documents regarding finance and operations to LSB and or stakeholders.
Well, aren't there rules already within the bylaws about that?
Absolutely, there are rules, and I thought that this should fall under the finance committee or the audit committee or a committee specifically put into place to handle financial questions.
This is Bob.
Okay, anyone else to the stack?
Yes, Nancy later.
Okay, Bob, Nancy.
Well, actually, my first question was to Nancy to explain more what was behind her putting it on the agenda. And then I have something to add, but why don't you go first, Nancy?
Yes, well, when LSB members asked the general manager to see contracts or arbitrons or bank statements or salary histories, and we get no answer. I mean, just silence. And I feel like really inept as a LSB member, you know, asking these questions and not doing anything more to get the to be responsible to the listeners and to the stakeholders. And in a board meeting, I also asked, I said, please do not make us, I said, why do you make us trust you blindly? Let us be these things. And I did not know if the if there was a rule that manager had to show these things, because I heard from a KPFK board member that, yes, board has a right to see these, but do we, if making another wording of the rule, if there is one, I don't even know if there is one, would it expedite being able to see these information? And also, it would help expedite or maybe cut down the expense of the auditor if we were to be able to see for sure all these things were in order before the auditor comes. And that's why we're not getting very well getting this information at all.
Okay, Bob.
Okay. Well, the answer to Nancy's question is yes, indeed, there is a policy that's been in effect since the first elected board in 2004. I'm trying to find it now, and I can't, but I believe it's called the PNB Communication Policy, and it's a whole set of procedures for both the PNB and then a separate set of procedures for the LSB having the right to request information from management about really any of the operations of the foundation that fall within their jurisdiction. And then there's a set of, I think there's a time frame, like, you know, within X number of weeks they must comply, and if not, they must give a written reason why they're not. And I don't want to characterize it more because I may be misquoting it, so I don't want to say.
Could
exactly.
You forward it to us, Bob?
Well, if I can find it. And this,
I mean, if you could find it, if you could
yeah.
forward it
no,
to us.
No, I would be
maybe,
happy to.
Yeah. And then maybe we can review what Bob sends and we can discuss it next
right.
meeting, because we may be reinventing the wheel here.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. We would be reinventing the wheel, but it would be very valuable to look at it, and then maybe we should play the role as a governance committee of putting a query out to LSBs, well, or for that matter, PNB members around the network to see how much is this being fully implemented and what problems are people having getting information from management that they need, that they have the right to, not only the right, but often to do their fiduciary, to do our fiduciary duties, we need certain types of information. And if we're not getting it, we can't do our jobs. So because I know at WBAI, that's been a problem for a while. And I've heard stories at other stations. So I think this might be a good project to really check up on, is this policy being adhered to?
That's an excellent idea. I think I hope you can find it and forward it to us, and perhaps we can attach a small 5 to 7 questionnaire, you know, 5-question questionnaire to it, and
right.
and have them return it to us by a certain date. It would certainly put everyone on notice, and it would remind us all of what the process is.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. So we'll look forward to that. If you could put that in
okay.
the notes, Nancy. And then number 5, the oversight of code mm-hmm. of conduct of the MSRC, the Management Search Review Committee, and governance. I think that is especially important for Gail right now. Would you like to talk about that, Nancy? Because I know that this was something that you also submitted. You've had a number of really good ideas.
The Code of Conduct, as far as I understand it, and as far as we are, it's not, how can I say, a person completes this one-page code of conduct report, and it's given to the manager. So the manager has total control over it being lost or being attended to, and I think oversight is necessary. And then it wouldn't be necessarily deliberate, I mean, if they lost it on purpose, but I mean, I'm not accusing that. I'm just saying it would be better and more responsible if a Management Selection Review Committee and or a Governance Committee had a copy of it so more people know that it happened, and that's kind of in their field of work. That's all.
Okay, so then you make a motion for that. Do we have any new business? I believe
that previous item before we go right off of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally understand and I agree with the intent of trying to look for some redress when complaints are filed against a manager for inappropriate behavior and nothing is done about it and it's ignored. There are procedures in place and sounds like perhaps they're not always followed. But I think we have to be careful in assuming that the board is the proper place to send those sort of uncorroborated complaints, because I've seen that happen over the period of history in Pacifica, and I think it's a very harmful process. Personnel matters are highly confidential, and if someone is alleging that someone else has acted wrongly, that needs to be vetted carefully through, you know, proper professional procedures, and it shouldn't just be, oh, and CC it to the LSB. Even if it's done confidentially, it still, I think, is a dangerous thing to just give uncorroborated claims to an LSB, because that's not the LSB is not there to kind of be a backup to management. They're there to broadly evaluate management, and certainly if there's a pattern of, you know, refusing to process complaints, then yes, that's totally appropriate for the LSB to be notified of that. But, you know, and of course, if an individual person on their own wants to come to the LSB, that's their business. They can come and say, I was treated wrongly, and here's what happened. But I would just be very cautious about any policies that would, you know, kind of open up the door to the LSB getting its hands on this kind of complaints, just, you know, across the board. That's all. Just wanted to express that concern.
Or Paul for Stack.
Hello. Oh. Ron Paul?
Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah. For Stack?
Yes.
Okay.
Ron?
I'm just coming in here. There are various things that have to be looked at various ways, because some stuff is governance, some stuff isn't. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, on the other hand, I think there's probably some slop over in all of that, but I think the main thing is not where some information might go initially, but what gets done with it afterwards, because somebody's about to say something and the whole world might hear it, and what do you do with it afterwards? And sometimes it should probably go to a PNB, or sometimes it should go to the HR person or something like that. So I think probably I suspect there's probably no control over where initial information would go, but it's after that you can have some control and really have to exercise some control, or you get sued or something.
Oh, HR, that's a good idea. But then it's all one person, but at least some kind of oversight, especially when a code of conduct report is about the manager.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have a code of conduct problem with management, it might not be too effective to lodge the complaint with management. But, you know, surely like the PNB should probably hear about it, and then, you know, the higher up Pacifica management, unless you're doing something about Pacifica management, and then I guess it would be the PNB. So, I think LSBs may not always have to learn about this stuff, but PNB probably would.
R. Paul, you're breaking up like every few seconds or so.
Oh, my. Bad connection?
Yeah, so I don't mind if you repeat what you say.
Oh. So basically, I was just saying that it depends on where it goes, and if you were having a complaint against management, giving it to management wouldn't work, but giving it to Pacifica management. Like if it's local management, give it to Pacifica management, and probably also the PNB. And for if it's a complaint against Pacifica management, it would have to go to the PNB. And initially, I said the who gets the information right at the first, like the immediate complaint. LSBs might see that, but it might be mostly appropriate to have that go elsewhere for any kind of action or something. That's all.
I'm sorry. I've got to get off. My granddaughter is going to come through the door in just a minute.
All right. Thank you,
Gail.
Okay, don't forget the 28th at 8:30 is when our next meeting will be. Monday.
The last Monday. Okay. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, Marcel.
All right.
Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Do we have any items for new business?
Yes, John Wenger. Mm-hmm. Oh, did everybody leave? Are you there, Marcel?
I'm here. Yes.
Yeah, I think we're the only ones left. They all said good night.
I'm still here.
Oh, Tony, is that Tony?
Yes.
Okay, there was a new item John Wenger put on before he left as new business, and he said about the salaries being published for the LSB to see, and or what did he say? I'm trying to find out what did he say. He put on the new business. The salaries are not the LSB cannot see the salaries of the paid staff, and he said this is a problem. And he said we cannot do fiduciary duty without being able to see this information, and so it should be published and made public to the LSB and to the world. He said, I think
I did get the gist of that, but I think that this is
that's what he put on the new business before he left.
Okay. Well, I think he needs to motivate it, so perhaps we can move it to our next agenda.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Did I say something on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The I know that some people think everybody in the world should see what the paid staff get paid. I have to disagree with that. One, it is Pacifica policy that, you know, that's not put out. For management, you can see what management gets paid. Some of that even shows up in the 990s. But the Pacifica policy is, you know, the LSB members can see a sort of fuzzed up version of what people get. What happens is the treasurer sees the actual number, and the treasurer is then required to produce an approximation number, which is somewhere in the range of plus or minus $3,000 a year for that particular position. And the treasurer is supposed to go down and do that for everybody. So LSB members, they don't get to see, you know, that somebody makes like $30,000 a year. However, they do get to see a range, and they can figure out, you know, pretty approximately where somebody is. And so it's also a thing of I used to be a shop steward at BAI for many years in a previous union. And part of the thing is at Pacifica, people are doing radio jobs, and they're not necessarily getting paid what they would get paid elsewhere. And it can be very harmful to have some sort of a radio job and then want to go to someplace else because you need more money and have a hard time, you know, negotiating a decent salary because they can dig around and find out you were making like 60% of what you should have been making. So you work for cheap. Why should we pay you the full rate? You know, and this was one of the arguments brought up many, many years ago, decades ago, about why paid staff salaries should be a confidential item. And so I just wanted to throw that in there. There is a decent reason for it, and it isn't like the LSBs are completely blanked on what paid staff get paid.
Okay. so it would harm future earnings. Okay. If we have, do we have any further discussion on this? Anyone for the SAC? Would someone like to call the meeting adjourned?
So moved.
Second.
Talk to you on the 28th. I can't wait to read the minutes, Nancy.
Oh, you know what? We didn't vote on the 28th. We didn't vote.
Is anyone opposed to meeting on the 28th, Monday at 8:30?
No.
It's unanimous.
Without
okay.
objection.
Okay. Without objection. Speak to you on the 28th.
Okay, thanks. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.